We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing. And since John Carcutt can't be with us today, my co-host is none other than the great, the awesome Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing. How you doing, bud?
Good. I am awesome, aren't I?
Yes. He's covered my ears and coming in here to help. It's good.
You know, I'm supposed to suck up to you, not the other way around.
Oh, no. That's not the way it works. Bosses are always supposed to suck up to their employees.
At least if they're smart. I like that. That's
if they're smart. I'm pretty screwed without you guys. So today, there's been a bit of news there, and actually I get to work off one of the ones that John left in for one of our prior episodes. I hadn't caught it until now. It's a good one now, if I can just find it amongst all of my notes. Okay. And anyone in the industry has probably read this many times and a little bit of oldish news, but it's awesome. It's Eric Schmidt, who's is he still CEO? No, he's not CEO anymore. What is he now? Of Google. I can't recall. But anyway, he's top notch. He's up there. He must be at least chairman of the board, that kind of thing.
I think he's just former CEO.
Yeah, it's kind of like, former president kind of thing. Okay, so he said in a Wall Street Journal article that within search results, information tied to verified online profiles will be ranked higher than content without such verification, which will result in most users naturally clicking on top bracket verified results. The true cost of remaining anonymous, then, might be irrelevance. Now, this is a quote from his book that's coming out in a couple months. Now, I pretty much guess that anyone worth their SEO salt had sort of figured Google was going that route, but it's always wonderful to see such verification. And the fact is that author markup is awesome. I think it's great. It's just another way I can be sure that someone can't copy my content and get as much visibility. Because remember those days when, oh man, we'd write an article and then half the blooming universe would copy it, and then they'd get a better ranking than we did sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. I remember that. It worked well, actually.
Yeah, they did very well. Of course, we'd have to send out the cease and desists. And,
I think we spend probably a couple days a month strictly contacting people saying, get rid of our content off your site.
Yeah, and with the appropriate wording, it worked. But it was a pain in the ass. So what I like about the authorship markup is now, you know, if it shows up in results, it's got my face, which may or may not scare anyone off. But the good thing is that at least it's definitely me. Now, he also, now this is a good article. This was from Search Engine Watch, by the way, where I got this. I'm going to quote a few of the elements of this well-done article. He said, Schmidt does not stop here. He essentially predicts that privacy will cease to exist online. Governments, he says, will find it too risky to have thousands of citizens anonymous, untraceable, and unverified online, suggesting they will want to require verification of all online accounts at some level of government. Wow. You know, it holds a lot of weight for me when someone like Schmidt says this, simply because he is so high up in Google. And, you know, okay, I'll finish my thought. He's so high up in Google, you know that he's got insight into where they're going and what their ultimate plan is. And one of the things that they are doing is one of their goals, their dreams, is to create an artificial intelligence, something that will guide us every day and become the first true artificial intelligence. And to prove this, they actually hired Ray Kurzweil as their, I believe, is he the chief technology Ray Kurzweil. I'm going to have to look it up now. But he is part of Google now. And now, do you know who Ray Kurzweil is?
Not a clue. I feel like I should, but I don't.
Oh, it's even worse. He's the new director of engineering. Now, first of all, I say worse just because that means it's even more clear what they're up to. Because Ray Kurzweil, and I'm a huge fan of the man's ideas and thoughts. He's a bit of an oddity, he is, but he's a brilliant man. He's got massive credits to his name for inventions from he created, and this is crazy, this is like 1970s or something, the first typewriter for the blind. he's amazing. I mean, and Kurzweil happens to also be a huge keyboard company that is for many of the big acts out there that have bands. In any case, I'm totally tripping over my own words today. In any case, he is without question the one guy in the world that is a pure futurist who literally wants to be a machine. Literally, his goal is to live long enough that he can merge into a robot and live forever. Now, consider that and the fact that he's the new director of engineering at Google. Creepy. are you still there, Scott?
Yeah, I am.
it's saying a lot. Now, let's go back to the notes here. One other thing is that Schmidt also postulates that tech companies will have to start investing in bigger and stronger legal departments to litigate all the lawsuits that are sure to arise over protection of information and intellectual property. Oh, hell, we're so going to be gone by then. I don't want to touch that. Can't even fathom it. Now, let's take this to the next step, authorship. Now, we've already discussed how this is all about the authorship markup. Well, what is that? And a lot of people have found it extremely difficult to build authorship markup into their work. And one of the ways to do it is they implemented it in January, which is much easier, and it's to go through email verification. It's, quote-unquote, the easiest and most reliable way to enable authorship information in Google search results. Now, what do you do? Well, you go into Google Plus. First of all, you have to have a Google Plus account. That's very simple, but you have to have that. Then you go into plus.google.com/authorship. And in the space provided, you enter the email address that matches the domain your content is on. So the clear issue here is you have to own the domain, or not own, but you have to have an email address with that domain that you currently got the content on. So in my case, obviously I have ross@stepforth.com. I've got my own email address for stepforth.com. Well, what I would do is I would tell Google, yes, this is me, ross@stepforth.com. It would verify it by emailing me, and I'd have to click into agreement and, you know, verify it. Once that's done, that's it. Anything that appears on the site with my name is going to show up, and if it shows up in search results, we'll have my picture next to it, and that's the other stuff you have to customize later. I need to put on your own image, et cetera. But talking about Miles Ahead, did you ever try and do this before, Scott, when it was the first time Authorship came out?
No, I didn't actually. I've recently done it with my own personal stuff this way, and it was a piece of cake. It was painfully easy. It was almost too easy. I thought it went wrong. I was like, what? This took me a minute. What steps did I miss? It was too straightforward.
Well, yeah, and so many people write for other blogs, so they won't necessarily have the email address on that domain. Now, in those situations, you have to go another route. And those are, number one, create a link to your Google profile from the web page. So somewhere on that page, create a link to your Google profile. And no hackers, you can't just put it in a comment tag. That won't work. It has to be within the article. It's a part of the article or the web page. Next, the other option is to... Now, when you're writing a blog or you're going to create some sort of content, oftentimes you're asked to fill in some fields as an author. And one of them is, what's your website? Or how can we get to you or find out more information about you? In that instance, what you would do is you would replace that profile URL with your Google profile URL. So go to your Google Plus page, copy and paste that link essentially into that space, and that's it. Then if someone clicks on you as an author at the bottom of the post or article, whatever it may be, then they go to your Google Plus profile. That's enough for Google to say, okay, you own that content. Not bad. I'm trying to remember what it was before. It was horrible. I think what I had to do was create a Google Plus profile, say that I wrote for Stepforth.com, then from an article, link to an about page on Stepforth.com, which then had a link back to Google Plus. It was a freaking nightmare, and there's no way. Like, there's too many steps. That's way too many steps. Not only for a person trying to do it, like get it set up, but the actual company administrating these news sites. I mean, that's ridiculous. It was too much. So I'm glad they're improving this.
You know what seems to me would be even easier is you just create a meta verification tag like you would with Webmaster Tools, and you've got your Google Plus, and here's your meta tag, and just put that tag on any page that you say is your content, and you're done.
It's easier for us, but
that's what I mean. Yeah, for me.
Yeah, but not for a site owner doing it for other writers. That would be pretty intense. At least it would require some programming, I think, to automate that. But you got a point, though. There are definitely certain ways they could have done it a lot faster. They could have improved on that, but at least they could have started out with something like that. Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we've got some other news that came out today, and some of it's pretty good.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
The SES Conference and Expo is making a springtime stop to New York City, March 25th through the 28th. SES New York 2013 is moving to a brand new venue in the heart of Times Square at the New York Marriott Marquis. Register now at sesconference.com. SES New York 2013 features some of the best and brightest minds in search and social marketing with keynote addresses by top-level executives from Google, Twitter, ESPN, and more. SES New York 2013 will also feature a loaded expo hall and Texpo Pavilion, on-site training by the ClickZ Academy, WebmasterRadio.fm's annual search bash, and so much more. Register before Thursday, February 21st and save $600 off early bird registration. SES New York 2013 at the New York Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square, March 25th through the 28th. Register now at sesconference.com.
Aim clear. This is how you sell with social.
Have you tried to do CPA conversions using social PPC and failed? You're not alone. These days, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube require true specialists to dominate.
Aim clear. The agency
brings definitive psychographic targeting,
bleeding edge creative,
and killer content amplification to the social advertising table.
Aim clear. This is how you sell with social. Aim clear. This is how you sell with social.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is authoritylabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Hello and welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host, Scott Vanak, Senior SEO at Stepforth, who is graciously filing in for John Carcutt, who I believe is en route to a, either a business client meeting or he's actually traveling somewhere, or another speech. He's the talking man. So before the break, we were going through some news, and there's a little more to share. This one I find particularly hilarious. Brasco says he's flying back home from New Orleans. Oh, rough. Okay, so, well, mind you, the flying back I wouldn't like, but New Orleans was to mean beautiful. Okay, so it just goes to show how much we're eager and just plain dying for Google just to confirm stuff we already know. Barry Edwards, Search Engine Roundtable, and he's great. He shares all this great stuff. And one of the things that he shared was a thread where John Mueller, who we've had on the show before from Google, interviewed or actually answered some questions on the forums, productforums.google.com. And it said, if you were allowed someone to put essentially a bad site host on your domain name, it would be bad for you. So what that means is, like, even the example that Barry gives is funny. So if someone had a bad website and put it under badsite.searchengineroundtable.com, so whatever it could be, mysite.searchengineroundtable.com, that'd be a bad thing, not just for them, but also for Search Engine Roundtable. Well, yeah. But anyway, the reason they posted it was because John Mueller clarified and agreed that that was the case. Again, all of us just want any kind of certainty in this world of Google. And this just shows to show how badly. I'm sure you were shocked, Scott, really.
Nah.
Now, the next piece of news is it's kind of interesting. Google gets kind of active when it gets into the realm of people doing bad things online. You know, all about malware. They're always, they sometimes block sites that have been attacked by malware, and you can easily get back into search results again. I should say not always, but most of the time, by just clarifying to Google you fixed the malware and your site's back up. But they're protecting their users, which I like. In this case, they kind of, I don't know, they seem to be getting outside their realm, but I guess they consider themselves the world police in some regards. What they're doing is they're looking to stop the money stream download sites. And how they're doing that is they're talking specifically with Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal to prevent these companies from using credit cards on PayPal accounts. Pardon me, credit cards or PayPal accounts. Now, the idea is these pirate sites are getting money from outside of North America, from countries where they don't currently have laws against them doing this, who are sending money to buy ads on these sites. And that's a loophole. I mean, you can't do much about it. And as a result, these sites are doing quite well, I'm assuming. So in this case, Google's trying to stop that flow. I can't say I'm sure I agree with them getting involved, but it certainly seems like something that would be worthwhile. What do you think, Scott?
You know, I'm all for anything that can help get rid of anybody that's trying to scam a system. My only concern about them doing this is there are going to be flaws and they're going to nail innocent parties, I'm sure of it. And I think if they're going to go forward and something gets done here, they really have to have a system in place so that the innocent parties can easily get everything resolved, you know? Some sort of forms that you fill in and have swift action to get you back online if it's a a legit business that gets burned by this.
Yeah, I mean, just so you know, it sounds like you've got something in your headset there. I guess it's not connected or something perfectly. The only thing I contest with what you said, I mean, I agree that, you know, if someone did get burned and that's horrible, you know, there should be some way to contest it. I would imagine if they truly have pirated content, I guess that's where they could Google could screw up, is if they didn't. But well, that should be left up to them. They should be judge, jury, and executioner here. I think, Dennis, it's okay. You know, if they go for the ones that are obvious, and whether or not how much this blows back in the is yet another thing. But Google doesn't seem to care. They got a bit of money. What is it? They did like, was it $50 billion or something in 2012.
Oh, you know, I didn't see the latest figures, but I think it's got to be somewhere around there. It's just insane.
You might have heard it on some of the other shows. Let's see if he posts. But it's been a pretty astonishing year for Google, and good for them. I think it's I'm a bit of a Google fan. And I know everyone that knows that, but I also love being their critical side too. And I think that this may be a little out of their area. They shouldn't necessarily be jumping into this. Now, Scott, you've been doing a bunch of audits these days. Now, I know a couple things have sort of surprised you lately. One of them was posted today. Think about not finding a duplicate site.
Oh, well, there was just in some of my preliminary work trying to track down what other domains this particular client might own. I check the usual places like Copyscape and check the hosted IP to find out if, you know, what other sites are hosted on there and a bunch of other things I do. And this one site of theirs didn't come up. And I found it when I was looking through their website, and they had one of those, you know, they've got the images and they're rotating back around. What the heck do you call those things again? I always forget the name of them. Anyways, a photo of one of their fleet vehicles came up.
Okay.
They had their domain name written on the tailgate of the picture of the truck. I'm like, hey, I haven't seen that domain name. I go and it's a complete duplicate website, which is kind of a surprise. But it only had two pages indexed. I haven't gone any further into it. I'm still working on that particular audit. But, you know, it's just interesting to come across something in a way that you would never expect to. You know, it just sort of pops out. It's never a dull moment.
For the benefit of some of our newer listeners, why would that be a bad thing?
The duplicate site? Oh, it's just all around bad. Where do I start? You can start in the innocent way. You know, you got people linking to both sites, and you're breaking up your inbound links, so you're just not as powerful as you can. There are issues with Panda and Google saying, hey, you can't have multiple pages with duplicate content on here. It used to be a good way to spam that would work. Not so much anymore, but you know, you got to watch out for Google, and duplicate content to Google is definitely a bad thing.
Yeah, so you know, when we do an audit for a client, in this case, it's to make sure that you know none of their content has been duplicated, because obviously, like you said, it's a bad thing. And if they have, we got to do what we can to ensure that content disappears, or you know, that cease and desist or whatever sent person may be. But yeah, it's an important part of the more comprehensive audit we would handle on a regular basis. And it's interesting, too, when you're doing that for competitor analysis, because you can find competitors who may actually be about to drop in rankings because all of a sudden you see a whole bunch of new sites popping up that are duplicates. Now, I'd like to think Google can easily tell and go, oh, whatever, these are garbage. But if there's any way that those sites can prove that or make it look like they are a part of that other company's network, that could be bad. And that would be negative SEO that we call it in our industry. Generally, like I say, Google's gotten pretty good at filtering this stuff out. But I know for a fact from speaking with others in the industry that negative SEO certainly exists. It's very unethical. There's one thing I'm never surprised about in this, about the internet at all, is that unethical practices are rampant. it's amazing how much there is. And in this case, unfortunately, it does exist out there. So let's take a quick break. Then we get back. I'll see if I can do about looking at one of the questions. It's a follow-up to one of the comments that John and I had in the last show.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Ever wondered how you could have access to your own SEO expert, paid search specialist, or social media wizard? Looking for help with your affiliate, display media, or email marketing?
Look no further than the folks at Fang Digital Marketing.
Fang Digital specializes in both paid and organic search, social media, display, and mobile advertising solutions, and is staffed by industry veterans from Google, Yahoo,
and one of the industry's most influential PPC experts.
Fang Digital's award-winning staff stays on top of the latest in digital trends and offer tailored solutions so they can audit your progress and build a roadmap to your success. Learn more about their expanding range of full-service strategic marketing solutions at fangdigital.com. That's FANGdigital.com.
Discuss and shape the future of performance marketing in New York City, March 12th to the 13th at the Performance Marketing Insights Conference. Come hear from and talk to other global industry leaders as they share how they're developing new revenue streams, deploying the latest technologies, preparing for increased regulation, and leveraging for the most effective digital advertising channels. Webmasterradio.fm listeners can save 15% on registration by using the promo code WEBMPMI15. That's WEBMPMI15. For more information and to register today, visit PerformanceMarketingInsights.com.
Rise, links, and web indexes. Take a bow to the largest link map in the world. Majestic SEO. Majestic SEO wields its virtual sword with speed and accuracy to deliver detailed reports of your company's link data and that of your competition. Let Majestic SEO make you your own king of internet marketers. And join the crusade of clients and agencies that have chosen the noble choice for link intelligence. MajesticSEO.com. Maximize ROI to use your time and let Majestic wield its mighty sword. MajesticSEO.com. It's good to be king.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host, Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO at Stepforth, who is graciously filing in for John Carcutt. And, we're doing all right here. We've got just a couple more things here left before we shut the old show down. But the first one is a response from one of our listeners, from Trevor Kimball. And it was regarding a discussion John and I had about whether or not a WordPress page or WordPress post is best or not. Now, he says about 5 years ago, he switched to WordPress for movable type. And in addition to porting over 500 posts, he created about 500 pages on various TV shows. They all had original content, and some were extremely unique in that there was little content available on these programs on the web. He went a month or two, and none of them ranked at all. The posts ranked well, but you couldn't find the pages in the rankings at all. I did some research, and a WordPress expert wrote that posts do much better in the rankings. As I recall, it was in part because posts are included in RSS feeds, and the engines see them as living documents and see pages as stagnant. Anyway, I went through and converted the pages to posts, and within days, they started ranking better. Some ended up being on page one or two of the keyword results. Now, I don't know if this has changed, and I haven't tested it, but a few years ago, the difference was huge for me. Thanks, Trevor. I agree. A few years ago, to me, I found posts much more effective. Now, I would say that's true across the board. The fact that pages can be intensely, stale is certainly correct in many cases, but there are also instances where pages can be very well maintained and become excellent resources in their own right. For example, we have a page on 301 redirects on stepforth.com, which does very well, and as a post, it probably wouldn't have done quite as well because, I don't know, I find that posts over time, they fall into the other world of a site. They could still, of course, still have traffic, but I do in this case like it as a page because it's a more permanent resource and a URL that looks a little more appealing when people share it. Now, one thing I did really like there was that the RSS note you made there was really in line with, well, I liked it because it made me write. I wish John was here for that one. Anyway, and that it was that I do strongly believe that RSS feeds, even now, I think that even, although to a lesser extent, they do improve the ability for pages to be found, perhaps spidered more frequently, especially if you use something like FeedBurner, which is another system that Google owns, of course. So that's a good note from Trevor. And on that note, we need to sign off. It's been a good show. I appreciate Scott stepping in, and I hope John's having a safe flight, and hope all of you have an excellent week. Now, keep in mind, our show airs every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And if you have any questions you'd like to add and have us answer in the show, please go to our Facebook page or our Google Plus community page. And those links are facebook.com/SEO101podcast. And within Google Plus, just do a search for under the community section for SEO or SEO 101, and you'll find us in short order. And we'd love to hear from you. So thanks, everyone. We hope you have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you soon.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
The level of connection you feel in your home dramatically influences your experiences there. Get the tools to control that connection in your communities with the first multifamily platform that unifies management and resident experiences to create smart apartments. Talk to a RealPage consultant today to see how your properties can meet the future of multifamily with the Smart Building Suite.